This is CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, teammates.
Hi, Sia.
Hi, Ben.
Hi, Leanne.
It's actually interesting you say that because I was like, in my mind, I'm thinking this is our school bell. As soon as we hear that, this is when we shape up and we get into order and we file in line and we make sure that we're
seated. Imagine if we were like, I don't know, held hostage by some country and we were sleep deprived and we finally got sleep and then they played that song.
Fuck.
it would be, wow, we're going to kill ourselves.
Since it is the 1st of April, it's quite fitting. Maybe like we should plan a prank on someone just on a Saturday morning.
Well,
rock up to someone's house and play this. And you're like, oh shit, I need to wake up and get to bed. Or rather get to work. Good morning, this is the Gareth Cliff Show. It's the 1st of April, it's the Monday. I'm Sia and Gareth is not in this morning.
Oh, what an April Fool's prankster.
You know, he's going to walk in any minute.
I didn't think he was going to commit to this. Oh, what a kid. So funny.
But that's Leanne and Ben still keeping the faith alive. We have your Monday usuals like the money shot and also tons of news stories to get to. And what an eventful week to say the least. But speaking of that, how were your weekends?
I had no power, so.
Ben, why do you not have power? Ben. There's no load shedding.
Yeah, but like when you load shed, okay, you basically, you break systems. So the substation in my road suddenly just started smelling like old toast on Friday.
And like, you thought you were having a stroke.
I thought I was having a stroke.
That is the first sign.
Most days I have this horrible feeling I'm having a stroke. And that was it. The lights kind of like flashed and then there was no power. So the substation blew. There was smoke. There was a fire engine.
Jeez.
And that was it. So I had nothing until Sunday.
So Sunday afternoon. Does it affect the whole suburb or multiple suburbs?
No. It affected our building, the building next door, and two houses. The rest of the street was fine.
Oh, that could leave you feeling a bit bitter.
Well, I mean, it's just bitter to start with, basically. So I had to go to, like, the same restaurant with no ambiance for dinner two nights because it was closest and I could charge my phone and my laptop.
Like, when you say restaurants with no ambiance, like what?
Well, no ambiance, but I knew I could put my laptop down and I wouldn't be bothered and it was relatively quiet.
Is it one of those places with a dodgy crowd as well?
No, it's fine. Like it's not how I want to spend my weekends. And then Daniela was away, so I was basically home alone in the dark with the cats.
That's very depressing.
I mean, like, it was shit.
It was.
I was always like, well, I can just do this, and like, no, I don't want to do that. Like, I just want to have lights on. I was going to watch that Madeleine McCann thing on Netflix.
Yes, documentary that you've been raving about.
Like, I'm sure as anyone who's in a relationship knows that when you're in a relationship, you end up watching TV shows that are more slanted towards whatever's like the general consensus. And luckily, Daniel and I have very similar tastes. We watch similar kind of things. Mm-hmm. But I know that she wouldn't really care about watching the Madeleine McCann thing.
Mm.
And there's other things, and because there's so much choice, you know, there's other things that she won't watch. And like, I don't cry watching This Is Us with her. Like, that's not my game. So, you know, when she goes away, I get to do that. Didn't watch any shows. Nothing. But I got to play golf on Saturday because there's no energy needed for that.
Yeah.
Sunlight. Go ahead.
But when was it fixed yesterday?
Came back on in the afternoon.
So you sort of had an afternoon evening-ish.
Yeah, and then I had to like reset the house basically. And then everything was fine. Everything is fine now.
So you didn't have a fridge for that long either.
So I had to throw things away. I put some things into a cooler box. And then the ice packet, which I thought was fine, seemed to have a hole in it. So that just melted and became water. So I didn't have a good weekend, yeah.
Oh,
I kind of, you know, when you start your Monday, like, oh, can I just have a weekend?
Can my weekend start now?
Can I have a weekend rather than a week ending?
Yeah.
Jeez. Okay. Leanne?
my weekend was pretty social for a change.
Nice.
As mentioned on Friday, I went to the Love Paws concert.
Oh, right, of course,
which is in aid of animal shelters. There were a couple of people I haven't seen in many, many years.
Like people you were avoiding or like pleasant?
I generally avoid everyone.
Basic life rule. Avoid everyone.
So I didn't say hello to anyone. I just kind of did my thing in the corner.
Mm-hmm.
But it was quite unexpected because I was given VIP tickets to go.
Ooh,
fancy. I hadn't been to a music concert in a long time, and I actually woke up in the morning of dreaming about Portaloos with no toilet paper.
No, yeah.
And as we were driving in, I thought, oh, please don't let this be the situation.
So you didn't take your own?
Well, I thought VIP, you know, maybe we'll be blessed with toilet paper.
VIP, thinking at least one ply.
That's all I was thinking. Got
not
there.
Not asking for much.
VIP was in a restaurant, Casalinga, which is a beautiful Italian restaurant.
Right.
We had Parma ham and all sorts of goodies for starter. It was seated, white tablecloths, a choice of three mains. I had beautiful fish dish.
Nice.
Desserts, gin and tonics on the house. I was really pleasantly surprised.
And two ply in the bogs.
It was a proper loo inside
proper
the restaurant.
There we go.
Wow.
The music was chilled. As mentioned, it was Matthew Mole, Art Matthews, Arno Carstens, Rubber Duck. So really, really chilled vibes from them. It wasn't like a rock concert. Kids running around, hay bales all over, food stalls. It was just really, really surprisingly
sounds
good.
So lovely.
Yeah. But needless to say, in the VIP section, I saw a lot of wrinkly old rockers that I haven't seen in a while.
Oh,
oh no.
Yeah, there was also
were
one.
Were they looking washed up or?
Oh, yeah, very.
Oh, never
like,
mind.
Just the one in particular I was looking at, and I thought, sure, if I could just start by giving him some eye drops and then maybe reverse.
It's a bit forward, Leanne.
Maybe reverse the 15 years too many in the sun. Take out his one hippie earring.
Oh.
Maybe put some shoes on him.
But look, Alex Shea wasn't a rocker, he was a DJ.
Like, I feel like with some people, you look at them and you think, you are completely still stuck in like
stuck completely.
The late 80s, early 90s. You haven't transitioned with
no.
the rest of us.
And like my friend said to me, and she said, how have these people like made money all their lives being hippies? And the thing is, they
good question that.
But the thing is, they've just always had lower standards of living.
Smart, yeah, I see. That sounds patronizing, but also true.
And no, and actually quite admirable as well.
No. It is, but like,
it's
yeah.
like if I could get through life without working hard and just accept that certain things are going to be a certain way.
Yeah, and obviously you're spending nothing on moisturizer and anti-aging cream.
Yeah.
That's expensive. I actually went to the Mall of Africa yesterday.
Whoa. How you had
month
the
end.
This is what you do in life, you know. And I was buying female skincare products. Jeepers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how is not every woman on the job on the side to afford this kind of stuff? Outrageous.
Look, I'm pretty much in the industry. Most of my clients are skincare brands. And I'm lucky enough to be like an influencer on one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Girl, I didn't know this. Can you hook up, brother?
Not now, Sears. He's telling a story.
Right,
and
okay.
For example, our most expensive moisturizer is 3,000 Rand.
Are they milking unicorns? Like, what's going on here?
What do they say is in it? That's my favorite. Because some brands will say, like, with real gold pieces. I don't know what gold is meant to do, but sure, I'll buy it.
No. Look, I would obviously come across as biased. But I've done courses on this brand, and it's just unbelievable. It's top notch.
So then I think both of you will know my pain. I was flying back to Joburg over the weekend, and as soon as I landed and got home, I opened up my bag, and specifically my toiletry bag. One of my serums had popped open.
Oh, no.
So I now have everything, like, it just thicked with this serum. And more than that, I'm like, it's so expensive.
Exactly.
Can I tell you, because I'm a bit of a cheapskate, I spent at least like the past 2 days just like holding up my cologne bottle and just wiping off the serum and plastering it on my face.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, none of this is going to go to waste at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's expensive.
Well,
so
let me say, you look radiant this morning as a result.
Thank you. But if you squeeze over and if you squint over at my bag there, it is a leather bag that I carry, and you can
it's very shiny.
It's looking a bit blotchy, actually.
It's blotchy because of all of the serum that like is spilled over everywhere. But
it's looking much more youthful.
More youthful than me, that is. I had a good weekend, actually.
You were in Durban.
I was in Durban. Started off with being in the city for some work, but was able to see some family and friends, which was really, really great. It's always just good to have a conscious downtime, and that's what I tried to do. Didn't plan anything too hectic. I wasn't here then everywhere, but just even the friends that I saw came over to our house. I wasn't going out and out on the scene or whatever the case is. Then I came back to Johannesburg just in time for our very own Anthea Gardner's birthday party.
Oh, right. That must have been quite something.
Yeah.
Anthea parties were the best.
Yeah, she knows how to party.
Yeah.
And you've experienced this more than once now.
So
because you rolled in here one morning after being with Anthea out on the Jewel.
Mm-hmm.
And Anthea like rolled you out of the car with bottles clanging, and then you're like, "Hi guys, welcome to St. Bass here today."
And this was a big, planned, huge party.
And this was a formal party you went to.
So, you know, Anthea really works hard for her money, but she also really works hard for a good time. That, I think, is a first disclaimer to start off with here.
She had a theme, right?
Yes. Yeah, so lean in a bit close. I'm just going to, like, you know, give you all of the details here. This is quite a scoop. She was celebrating her party, and she decided to theme the party along the lines of each guest is meant to arrive dressed up as a character from a book.
So, like a literary character.
Yes. But more than that, the character has to have a spin with alcohol somehow. So, for example, you could have dressed up as Oliver Gin Twist. Or you could have dressed up as... I'm trying to think of some of the others. So she said
you would, pitch up with a bottle of gin as well, I suppose. Not necessarily.
Yeah, well, that
was encouraged.
Sure, just make sure you can at least have one bottle of gin. No one's going to fight you for that bottle.
What do you mean?
Well, if you're worried about your consumption, if you arrive with a bottle, you at least have that.
Oh, right, true. So there we go. Here are some of her other options from the invitation. Something like Tequila Mockingbird instead of To Kill a Mockingbird, and Diary of a Whiskey Kid instead of Diary of a Wimpy Kid. Now, I'm very hesitant. I don't know about you, but I'm very hesitant when I get an invitation to a theme or a dress-up celebration party, because you always think, how much effort do I make? And then I'll make the effort.
Yeah, you're going to make too much effort.
You see, and you don't want to be that guy who
arrives.
And if
you don't know everyone that well, you're never sure how it's going to go.
Right? So I kept on thinking, okay, should I, shouldn't I, should I, shouldn't I? And what I actually appreciated about Anthea this time around is she emailed us all the invitation, and she copied everyone who was invited, as opposed to blind copied everyone who's invited, so that you can actually...
That's always a debate going on, an internal debate before you send it.
Yeah, you don't want to rock up there and there's your ex.
And my, haven't I had those experiences?
So it goes through the mail list. Oh, no, he's there.
So now I'm going to avoid him. I'm going to make the effort. And so I could tell who was going to be there. And I was like, okay, this is actually quite fun. It's a nice crop of people. And so I made an effort. And I decided to dress up as... I really do think this is quite smart. Christian Grey Goose.
It's very good. Yeah, well done. Yes, well done.
So did you go in a suit with a whip in your back pocket?
Oh, yes. So I bought one of those corny abs, you know, like stick-on situation and the big puffed-up chest.
Was it? What color was the, inverted commas, skin color on the abs?
Yeah, that's where we went wrong. If I was standing in the shadows or the dark, they really looked convincing. As I was standing in the full-blown light, well, I'd look like somehow I got a tan from my neck up and my torso. That's just so flesh-colored. Anthea took tons of pictures. I was having too much of a good time. I didn't even bother taking photos. So I did one of those. It was the silicone torso, and I also bought a whip and these handcuffs. And so this meant I actually had to go last week to the sex shop. I had to walk to a sex shop and buy.
Yeah, you can buy that kind of stuff just in normal fancy dress places.
I didn't know these things, but I had to walk in there.
I had to go to a sex shop.
And walking into the store, I I felt like I had to proclaim it to everyone in there, like, hi, I'm actually here for a dress, a party, not one of y'all. But then, it was a great experience in that sex store. Got those. So yeah, rocked up to that party just, and my Uber driver judged me. I could tell was silently judging me as I was in the back of the Uber driving to the party. So it's your casual Saturday and someone rocks up with a whip and a...
Were you traveling alone?
Yeah.
That's very creepy.
So I'm sure
I don't know, if I was that driver, I would have carried on driving.
I'm sure he thought I was going to a swingers party. But rocking up to Anthea's party was incredible. She herself was dressed up as Lara Croft Beer,
which is
also smart. But it was such an amazing crop of people. It was people in, you know, just... know amazing jobs and Anthea circle, and you'd think like, oh, those people don't know how to party. Quite the opposite though, those people definitely know how to party. I did not think, not to name and shame some people, but did not think that, you know, someone who works at the SA Reserve Bank would be like the life of the party, and somehow at like something to midnight, everyone fully clothed ended up in the pool.
Oh, wow.
Drinks were flowing. So it was an incredible, incredible time that I had at Anthea's party. So yeah, let's wait for her to come in a bit and she'll explain herself as well. But yeah, definitely made the weekend worth it.
Very good.
And you guys missed out on it, but I represented.
Like I said, I was... had other commitments and I was being social. Had a family braai thing on yesterday as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then Monday just crept up on us.
But at least it is your favorite day of the week, Leanne.
I don't know.
You don't know
after
anymore?
All of that socializing, I quite enjoyed it.
She actually enjoyed her Friday for the first time in 13 years. So.
What? Oh, that's not because I wasn't here, right? Moving on. Let's move on while we all have some level of dignity. Let's focus on the five things that you need to know this morning. You ready for that?
Mm-hmm. Yes, please. Yes.
Shucks. There was so much going on this weekend. So let's start off with the first story that you need to know this morning from Durban, actually. At least five factories were set alight, with one completely destroyed at Mandeni's Isthebe Industrial Estate on the KZN North Coast this week. The community was unhappy with Mayor Siphelele Zulu and has demanded he steps down. So this...
Why ruin someone's factory? Oh.
There we go. MEC for Economic Development, Tourism and Environmental Affairs, Sihle Zikalala, said since Monday, factories owned by the Itala Development Finance Corporation had been torched by people disgruntled with the local municipality. The official quote is, "We understand people have issues they are concerned about. However, those issues don't necessarily have a direct bearing on what is taking place in the industrial estate," exactly what you're alluding to, Ben. Zikalala continues saying, "We therefore urge communities not to vent their anger on economic hubs like this." Now, he said the provincial government was also concerned about the burning of seven trucks along the crucial N3 corridor that links KZN and South Africa's economic heartland of Gauteng. Now, police confirmed that 15 people have been arrested for malicious damage to property and for inciting public violence.
Don't understand.
It's sad that we see many stories like this crop up.
We need to teach economics to the greater populace of the world. I'm not just saying here, because this kind of stuff happens around the world.
Mm-hmm.
In that, if you're disgruntled or unhappy, this is ruining your life by doing this. Like, these are economic hubs, you know, like the thing that actually creates jobs, purpose that we can carry on to tomorrow.
Look, it's...
like, this is so 90s. Like, we've got to be smarter about how we get pissed off in life.
And we know as this country we have a lot to complain about, but at the same time, we have a lot to recognize that is good. And what we do have are proper avenues and channels to constructively deal with things. Whether it is going up to your municipality and, you know, this is who they're disgruntled with, or, you know, it is talking to your ward counselor or making your voice heard in another way before you have to do something like this. It's not like we live in a society that our voices aren't heard, especially now we're leading up to May the 8th. You know, rather think about that as opposed to burning up people's businesses. But alas, second story that you need to know this morning, if you were were on social media yesterday, you would have noticed Ace Magashule trending. And the ANC has encouraged the author of a new book, which has put the ANC Secretary General at the center of state capture in the Free State, to report him to police if the allegations are true. Now, the Sunday Times and City Press revealed damning claims, which are contained in the book by journalist Peter Louis Maber, titled Gangster State, Unraveling Ace Magashule's Web of Capture. Magashule has been linked to dodgy dealings with business people who worked with the Free State government. He's since taken to his Twitter account to dismiss the allegations, labeling the report as fake news. Now, the ruling party has described the allegations as a well-coordinated media attack on ACE and the ANC.
Yeah, but these templates that the ANC have, scandal breaks, they just forward these emails saying, just put your name here and just put a date here. Mm. And these are the words you use.
The party's Dakota Lekgote says the party will not defend corruption in a statement saying, we have accepted our weaknesses, we have accepted that there are problems in the ANC and they need to be corrected. So to that effect, there are about 4 commissions which are sitting now to deal with even some of our own. It's painful, but it's had to be done for the good of the nation. Oh, good of the nation. I love that the ANC now speaks about this as we're leading up to the election. Speaking of what the ruling party could be doing to win people's favor before May the 8th, the third story that you need to know this morning, the ANC has said it wants communication regulator ICASA to work on a plan to reduce the cost of data. The party says telecommunication companies need to work with ICASA to find a way for the reductions to be realized. Now, it briefed the media on its election manifesto briefing at Luthuli House, and saying that ICASA must be more proactive in tackling the issue of data costs as quick as possible. The Minister of Science and Technology said that either the prices are competitive, because I know a lot of people have been saying that they are paying more for prices compared to other countries on the continent, and that's what the Competition Commission should be able to check for us. I don't know if I'm buying any of what they're saying right now.
Well, whose interests are there? Because we know these people don't care about the people, as in you and I. So this whole thing of lowering, again, it's just a lovely pre-election story.
From one political party to the other, the fourth story that you need to know this morning, the EFF leader Julius Malema has said the party doesn't want votes from xenophobic South Africans. Malema's reacting to the recent spate of attacks against foreign truck drivers in Durban, saying this has disturbed him. Now, he told supporters near Rustenburg that Africa is a country. I repeat, Africa is a country, and Africans must unite. He added that the borders and the continent were imposed on Africans by its colonizers, who were mostly white. Malema claimed that without unity, powers like America, Europe, and more recently China will continue to exploit Africa. Now, Julius also continued to say that he wants communities to stop blaming Nigerians when women are raped. He said statistics show that most rapes and abuse are committed by someone well known to the woman.
This is the most sense I've ever heard Julius make. I actually agree with what he's saying.
You have your face scrunched up so much. You're really surprised by this.
I am surprised. He has surprised me today.
Okay, then. And then last story that you need to know this morning, the AA, the Automobile Association, has said it's concerned about the looming massive petrol price increase, adding it will not only have an impact on most motorists, but consumers in general. So from Wednesday, breath in and big breath out. From Wednesday, the price of petrol will increase by up to 1 rand and 34 cents per litre, while diesel will go up by between 81 cents and 82 cents. Now, the new petrol price increases come into effect as South African residents brace themselves to deal with an over 9% increase in electricity, which comes into effect from today, is it? If this is... okay, from today? Oh, shucks. The AA...
oh, there it is. There's the April Fool's joke. That's coming
eventually. Please let it be. Oh, gosh.
Oh, I hope this isn't true, but the AA's Leighton Beard said the petrol price increase will push prices to around 16 rands per litre in a statement saying there are three main factors which are pushing the price, one being increased international petroleum prices. Yikes. Okay.
Yeah, two things that you can't really help but use, petrol and electricity.
Mm. And we're all just being screwed by it somehow. Let's hear a different take to news this time rather. Ben, what do we have in the sport this morning?
Well, the Titans are the ODI champions of South Africa. Australia are doing bloody well in the same kind of format. Roger Federer wins again, and Liverpool. Maybe they are fated to win this Premier League title after all.
Hmm.
All those intro stories were great, but let's rather kick off with rugby. Yeah, Super Rugby. The Crusaders, we all know that they had this horrible attack in their town of Christchurch, where there was religious fundamentalism, blah, blah, blah. We all know, terror attack, essentially. They lost to the Waratahs in the wake of that, and then they bounced back big time against the Hurricanes this last weekend. Playing in the Caketon of Wellington, the Crusaders won 32-8 and reaffirmed themselves as very much the favourites to win this whole title. Tournament. The Waratahs, they lost to the Sunwolves. Wow, the Sunwolves are just racking up some sneaky wins all over the place here. 31-29 they won there. The Stormers versus the Blues in a match that was marred by referees being absolutely shit. And again, New Zealanders getting away with absolute murder. They are the thugs of world rugby. We know this have been for quite some time now, especially the last sort of 5 years. And New Zealanders, you can come at me all you want, but suck a bugger dicks. Because these guys are always getting away with sneaky punches and elbows to the face. And again, this happens over the weekend. So there we go. Blues winning that one 24-9. Storm is just way too many errors again. The Reds, they hosted the Rebels and they went down 13-32. The Sharks versus the Bulls, also a dreadful game. No real major interest in skill or exciting rugby, but rather fisticuffs, red cards, and a 3-point win for the Bulls, 19-16. And then the Hawaiians, they hosted the Chiefs.
It gets me every time.
And the Chiefs had this hectic schedule. They travelled essentially around the world to get to this game, and they were too strong for the Hawaiians, 30-27. Argentinian side again, just not taking the opportunities or seemingly kicking onto another gear, despite the fact they've got a very strong team. Roger Federer, well, we know when he won his 100th title, everyone was saying, oh, this is incredible. Look at that. Well, he's won one more. So now he's got 101. Even more incredible. He beat John Isner 6-1, 6-4 at the Miami Open. And he just continues to just make himself more and more of a legend in the sport. The Australians, we all know that they aren't legends anymore because they're mostly cheats in cricket, but they're fighting the long road back to redemption, as they say. And they're doing so in the one-day format at the moment. They're absolutely killing it. They won in India, which is huge for anyone to do. And now they've beaten Pakistan 5-0 in the UAE. Of course, we are days away from the Cricket World Cup of 2019. I think we're in the late 50s. I'll go back to my countdown a little later today. And this is a huge result. It really is. Because the Pakistan team is decent. Let's just say it. They're decent. They may have lost 3-2 to the Proteas at home here in SA. And many people thought they'd be a lot more competitive in the UAE. Well, not. 5-0. Aaron Finch is leading this team to wonders at the moment. And Aussies are pretty good at World Cups. They've won the most and are sort of underdog favourites. I know that contradicts itself, but this is a team to watch out for. Speaking of the Aussies and crickets, there's obviously still lots of other mumblings going around the whole sandpaper test match scandal of a year ago. And, well, the Aussies who were found wanting there, Steve Smith, Cameron Sancroft, and David Warner, they are no longer banned. So there's obviously talk around this whole anniversary thing. And now there's claims from the Aussie bowlers, because people are saying that the Aussie bowlers were going to boycott the fourth test unless David Warner got basically thrown out of the team. And they're all saying this is absolute rubbish, we would never do such a thing. Of course, David Warner's now free to play, so they're not going to speak badly about the teammate. Because they've got the Ashes coming up, which is huge, of course. So they're all trying to show unity, and that they all like each other. But meanwhile, deep down, we all know David Warner's a doer. And the ODI tournament, which is the Momentum One Day Cup that was played here in SA, the Titans are just too good. They are just too good in local cricket. It's simple as that. They've got huge players, and they all sort of come on well, whenever they need to, really. Ed and Markram scored another blistering 100 yesterday. And the Proteas there. The team is so strong, basically, is the Proteas. The Titans posted 356 for 5 in the allotted 50 overs. And the Dolphins, who they were playing against, well, they didn't really have much response. Some piss-poor umpiring didn't help their cause either, as Zondo and Petlakwai were given out when they were clearly not. But yeah, 135-run victory for the Titans. And with that, they get another title. Dale Steyn was brilliant with the ball. And Mark Boucher says he will actually fly Markram to the World Cup himself on his own dime, such as his form right now. Of course, the Proteas ODI World Cup squad will be announced shortly. There was obviously a lot of football over the weekend in England. Man City, they beat Fulham 2-0. And with that, went to the top of the English Premier League. And then Liverpool played Spurs. Spurs, they always do it to themselves, don't they? They scored an own goal. And with that, Liverpool won 2-1. So Liverpool are back on top. And Jurgen Klopp, jeepers, this guy, he's going to explode at some stage. He really will. I mean, he's just... His face is scary.
What's happening with him?
He loses his shit. Like, obviously, football's very emotive, right?
Okay.
Liverpool have a chance to win the league for the first time in 79 years. So this means so much to him. So much. And the press obviously pick up on that. So yeah, other results worth looking at. Cardiff City, they lost to Chelsea 2-1. Their manager also had like a thrombosis. Arsenal are playing tonight against Newcastle. So if you support those teams, there they are. Man United beat Watford 2-1. And that's pretty much all that really matters. There was Nedbank Cup action over the weekend, if you're into the domestic scene of football here in SA. The Blum Celtic, they lost to Golden Arrows. Oh, better pull the swallow there, one. 2-1 to the Golden Arrows. Vitz took on Chipper, and Chipper won 5-3 on penalties. And Kaizer Chiefs, big winners over Cape Town City with the 2-0. In golf, the WGC match play. Yeah, I love this event. It really is great. Until you get to the final day, and then it's just boring as all hell. The players have been playing the whole week. They're tired. They all look like guys at the end of a golf tour. Oh. And when the weather's not great, it doesn't help either. But Kevin Kistner, he outlasted everybody. And that's what you got to do to win this event. Ultimately outlast everyone. He beat Matt Kuchar 3-2 in the final. And that's a huge result for him. He got into the final last year and got absolutely trousered by Bubba Watson 7-6. So he made up for that this year. But obviously it was a big week because Tiger, you know, he beat Roy McIlroy, and then Lucas Biergard beat Tiger, and it was like, you know, fairy tale, this and that, whatever, whatever. But I don't know, this event just gets so boring towards the end. Maybe this is why someone like Ricky Fowler said, nah, I'm not into this. I'm not going to play it. I don't know, more to the story, I guess. And finally, there was F1 over the weekend, Sia, in Bahrain. Yeah, the lovely place of Bahrain, they hosted the F1. And a young French guy called Charles Leclerc. Charles Leclerc.
Do you need to clear your throat?
No, right. He was firing in the Ferrari. Like, he was pole position. He had a bit of a choke on the grid, but then he was just so fast. He was just so fast. He was just cruising past everybody. And then Vettel was like kind of in his tailwinds. Coattails, he was behind him, and then everyone else was like, well, it's going to be a Ferrari 1-2, this is it, Ferrari are going to finally come good. Well, Vettel lost a bit of talent on the track, and Leclerc, unfortunately, he lost a bit of power in his car. Yeah, engine damage. He lost as much as 40 kilometers an hour on the straights, and obviously with that, everybody will catch up on you. Lewis Hamilton with cornrows caught up on him first. He held on to the lead. And then that was it. Leclerc ended up finishing third. So frustrating for him. Although the safety cars did come out because both the Renaults bodged it up. And he managed to hang on to third, even with his failed engine. Vettel, he ended up finishing fifth because he spun. And everyone just said, well, he just can't do it. He hasn't got the bottle for this. But it'd be exciting to see younger, fresh talent like this Leclerc come through. And Ferrari can just keep a car on the road even better. So yeah, that was pretty much it for your sports over the weekend. More on Wednesday.
All right. That's a mouthful and a half. Thank you very much. With, what's his name? Leclerc?
Charles Leclerc.
How do you spell it? Let me get this. Let me help out here with the pronunciation.
Well, because it's French, you like drop the C, don't you?
Well, first tell me.
So it's Leclerc.
Ben, how's it spelled?
L-E-C-L-E-R-C.
And then how do you pronounce it?
Leclerc.
Leclerc.
Oh,
there's actually a shop called Leclerc.
Yes, it's like the Macro of France.
That's right.
Yeah, I know. I've been there.
Oh. look at you, Mr. Fancy Ben. All righty. Yeah. Good morning, Anthea.
Good morning, Sia. How are you?
Good, thank you. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
We've heard all about your birthday weekend.
I wasn't going to bring it up. I was not at all going to bring it. I said only fittingly the amazing things about your party.
Oh, why, thank you.
Yes.
Christian Grey Goose. Did you know he came as Christian Grey Goose?
Yes, he's told us, and he told us that you were Lara Croft beer.
That's right.
Just brilliant ideas. Really, really.
There were some clever ones.
Mm.
It was Harry Shotters.
Yes.
there were so many. I can't. Don Julio Quixote.
Yes. I just loved everyone.
The Flask of Zorro.
Making the effort. Celejo was there as well. It was just incredible. I was saying that it's so rare to find such a wide variety of people all together, and they're all just committed to having a good time. And you brought those people together, so thank you for the invitation.
It was a pleasure, my eclectic bunch of friends.
Fantastic. But let's get straight into the markets. I mean, we may have all of the fun, but there's still a lot of
work to be done.
There is work to be done. It is Monday after all. And Friday was good, well, though, because we closed the first quarter of this year positive. Our market was very staid. We were all waiting for Moody's to put out their announcement on Friday evening. But we still ended positive. The S&P had its best quarterly gain since 2009.
Oh.
So those U.S. markets looking very good. And I know at the end of last year, kind of halfway through towards the end, everyone was saying how they're worried about the U.S. and it's going into recession and so much about it. Well, last quarter proved that the markets are still going to rally no matter what. Last week, Brexit came to a grinding halt again. Nonstop.
Just flip a coin. Seriously, flip a coin now. It's not going to make a difference.
I just want them to get out, actually. I've had enough of it. I'm like, just leave the EU. Can the EU please kick you out eventually and get on with it? Like, the world's not going to come to an end, really.
Yeah, that's actually the best play. If the EU just say, sorry, could you actually just leave?
Yeah, we've had enough of you now.
We're moving on.
Yeah.
Can
you imagine how the EU are sitting there going, how are these palookas even in our group?
These palookas. Yeah. If you have the patience for it, here's a bit of the announcement. And this is Theresa May speaking around Brexit.
Ah, Theresa.
Today should have been the day that the United Kingdom left the European Union. That we are not leaving today is a matter of deep personal regret to me. But I remain committed to the United Kingdom leaving the European Union. And that is why I brought this motion to the House today. There are those who will say the House has rejected every option so far. You'll probably lose, so why bother? I bother because this is the last opportunity to guarantee Brexit. Yeah. And I say to all those who campaigned to leave, who voted to leave, who represent constituencies that voted to leave, indeed all of us, who want to deliver on the vote to leave. If we do not vote for this motion today, people will ask, why did you not vote for Brexit?
The ayes to the right, 286. The noes to the left, 344.
Well, that's that.
My favourite, though, were all the politicians when she said, I will resign, who then went, okay, if you resign, I'll change my mind about Brexit. They're so bad, these politicians.
Firstly, I'm so glad I finally realised what Theresa's been banging on about. She's actually wanting to leave.
Yes.
But now,
you only figure it out now.
Between her dance moves and everyone just going, I never actually really knew. But that's cool. But now, okay, so they don't want to go. Can that be the end? Are they going to stay now? Or is she going to just go through this rigmarole all over again with another impassioned speech?
So if they don't vote for her plan, so she's got this plan to exit the EU softly, in inverted commas. If they don't vote for it, they get kicked out on the 12th of May, April, sorry. If they do vote for her plan, then they get kicked out on the 22nd of March. They leave on the 22nd of May, sorry, May, not March. And other than that, I actually don't know. Like, that's it. There's a hard and a soft Brexit option now.
It's just brilliant how it's come to this, that Theresa May, at this time of year for the Brexit thing, I mean, it's just poetry in motion here.
As she says, they were supposed to be out on the 29th of March.
As people are saying, they're going to see the end of May before the end of April.
We were actually waiting for that. That's smart. That's smart, Ben.
Okay, back home, mm-hmm. we saw our trade balance swing into a surplus of 3.99 billion rand, which is very nice because it means that exports jumped 10.7% on the month and imports fell. So we'd rather export more than import because we want the money to be flowing into the country. And then there were a couple of good non-events. And what I mean by that is the MPC decided to leave rates unchanged. So that's good. They're not putting our interest rates up. And that was after PPI, which is the producer price inflation, rose to 4.7. I should say a mild 4.7% year on year for February. And this is after January's 4.1%, but still well within the Reserve Bank's target of 4.5%. It was a unanimous vote.
You say mild. Is that what we were expecting? Is it less than? Is it just okay?
It was slightly above consensus, but the Reserve Bank's target is 4.5%, so 4.7 is fairly negligible.
It's a bit of a win.
Yeah. Exactly. And the band is 3-6%. So as long as it's well within that, then we don't have a problem with inflation, is what the Reserve Bank says.
Okay.
I do have bad news for you, though. Petrol is going up this week.
Like a lot. Mm.
This
a
is
lot,
on Wednesday, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what is it? It's 74 cents a litre out along the coast and 91 cents a litre, I think, inland. Yeah. I don't have all of them, but that's pretty much it.
And there's no caveat to this. There's no...
Oh, sorry, my bad. Actually, it will rise 1 Rand 31. No,
Yeah.
I thought that was seemed not right.
There's just nothing we can do about this. No, is there any other...
Nope, this is all exogenous factors. This is the oil price increasing and the Rand weaker. The Rand this morning is 14.37 to the US dollar. Mm. I checked early on. And then also a non-event, which was very bizarre because we all sat there on Friday waiting for Moody's to put out their report to decide whether or not they were going to keep us at the same investment grade or downgrade us. And they didn't make an announcement.
Yeah, I saw them trending on Twitter. Why didn't they make the announcement?
They didn't tell us. They just didn't do anything and they didn't tell us why.
And I know, right? Clearly Moody's thinks, as a nation, we don't deserve the justification.
Maybe someone who works there just took an early weekend and
they forgot.
Yeah.
They forgot about us. Oh, that little country down at the bottom of Africa.
Yeah, never mind. What can we expect? Do you think they'll put a word out today?
So my theory on this is that Moody's are the last rating agency to keep us at investment grade. We were all expecting them to downgrade our outlook from stable to put us onto negative watch. If they put us on negative watch, they've got 18 months to decide whether they're going to downgrade us to junk status or put us back to stable watch. And I think Moody's are acutely aware of the elections coming up in May and that any negative move they make will have negative impact on the country and on voters. And so they're just holding back. Mm-hmm. Honestly, that's what I think. I mean, it's not really their concern, I should say, about what happens. I was expecting them to move us from stable to negative and then to downgrade us to junk status in October around the budget speech, unless things change significantly. Now, since the last budget, we've had blackouts, and we've had a volatile rand, and we've had emerging markets not looking so great. So I would have honestly thought that they would downgrade us, but there you go. They just did nothing on Friday. Mm. Which is funny because actually, when I talk about emerging markets, we do get lumped into these BRICS, right? Brazil, Russia, India, China. And then the other big emerging market that gets thrown in along or we get watched with is Turkey. And last week, Recep Erdogan, decided that he was going to put a hold on trading the Turkish lira. And because investors got so nervous about the fact that they couldn't get their money out of the country, so if you'd invested in Turkey, you suddenly couldn't sell your lira or you couldn't sell a percentage of it or whatever the rules are, mm-hmm. that they actually just sold immediately, and the borrowing rate went from around 22%, I think it was, to 1,000% overnight. It's unbelievable. And I think that will make investors nervous again. You know, China, we got some good data out of China over the weekend, and so we should see a positive market this morning, but I am worried that investors are looking at emerging markets and going, there's just so much going on, and it's just so volatile. In fact, even the rand got sold down when Turkey's lira pushed out, its borrowing rate pushed out.
Oh, no.
And then in company news.
Yeah, what's happening with Capitec?
Oh, yeah. So there was a really good article on Bloomberg, well, good in inverted commas, article on Bloomberg last week that said, Capitec will take a hit of at least $25 million after it cut its transaction fees. So it cut its transaction fees last week or the week before to keep up with these other banks that are coming online. You know, we've got Bank Zero, we've got Time, all those coming on. Discovery should be coming along. Although Discovery's not really in the same league. But yeah, they'll lose $25 million.
It just goes to show how much they're making.
Good point. Yeah, but I think Capitec now, to keep their revenue line the same, really are moving into other things. So they're going into credit cards and home loans and more than just this unsecured lending, which will be, and more than just a transactional bank, which will be good for them.
Okay. And in Steinhoff news?
This is getting interesting now because... Juicy. Yeah, Steinhoff announced last week that they're selling their 75% stake in Unitrans, which is South Africa's largest auto showrooms and network of trucks, dealerships. Annual sales there are 23 billion rand. So that you just take that 23 billion rand straight off the top line. That's gone. But what they're doing is taking the cash in immediately to shore up their balance sheet because obviously – with what's happened, I think they're in a bit of trouble. You know, the companies that Steinhoff owns are still operating. They're still going. I just think that they're struggling to borrow money because of the fraud. And we can, I think, now call it fraud, right? Can we?
Anthea, I don't know. We'll take your lead. But let's just say the courts of public opinion had long been calling it what we see it as.
Yeah, so. And this was after they'd sold off their 26% stake in Cup Industrial as well to pay off debt and to bolster up their balance sheet. So, yeah. Nice.
And then lastly, Naspers.
This is big news, last but not least, because Naspers make up 20% of our index. Mm-hmm. In your pension fund, 20% of it is probably close to 20% of it is probably Naspers. They announced last week that they're going to be listing on the Euronext, which is the Amsterdam Stock Exchange or index, and not going for NASDAQ, which is interesting. Everyone thought they'd go for NASDAQ.
What do you think this means?
It means that they're diversifying out. It means that they, because about 70% of Naspers is really Tencent, or revenue, or profit, I should say, is made up from Tencent, which is this Chinese company. Mm-hmm. And you know they've already separately listed MultiChoice. They're kind of slicing Naspers up a little bit to release this discount, because they're trading at a huge discount. And everyone's calling for the breakup of the company. Koos Bekker, of course, has said no, don't want to break it up. But this is another way of kind of making the company investable, if you like. I mean, he basically said what it will do is remove forced selling. So if you're forced to sell it because it's not in the index or because you can't hold a 20% weight in your portfolio, from both, you know, kind of active and passive investors or fund managers, I should say. And so you should see the share rally quite a bit, actually.
Hmm. What are you keeping your eye on around this?
Around Naspers?
Yeah.
So to me, I hold Naspers. There's not much more to say about it unless they make more announcements. I think the discount will narrow. And I think there will be more release of some of the other businesses. I mean, it's interesting that they chose to go on to Amsterdam because the NASDAQ, they say, is so expensive. Oh, there's a great article. I can't remember where I read it.
This is not Naspers, like the good Bloomberg one.
Naspers is, you know, they have this big Media 24 building in Cape Town.
Yes.
And their roof bar or their venue or their kind of where they hold their social gathering is called the Nasdaq. Get it?
Yes.
So everyone thought they'd be listing on the Nasdaq in the U.S.? No. So
okay.
I think I might leave now. That was really good.
Anything else, Anthea, for the rest of the week?
Have yourself a good week.
Thank you, Anthea. That is the money shot for this week. Some things to pay attention to, some things to bring up in conversation as well if you want to impress some people with some finance and market updates. But yeah, that's some perspective from Anthea. Moving on to some feel-good news before we wrap up the first hour of the show. I like the story and I want to share it with all of you and hope you get excited about it.
We don't have a choice, do we?
Actually, yeah, you don't.
No, we do want to hear some good news, please. Especially after all of that.
Thought about it for a moment, you really don't have a choice. This is so simple, but it's so sweet at the same time. There is a social media post made by a South African teacher that has now been reposted and shared quite a couple of times that just based on how inspiring it is that actually there are some people who are kind out there in our nation. So this teacher from the West Rand, their name is Reinhard de Klerk.
You were going to say the name R.
Yeah, listening to the name, you have full license to say the name R.
The name R, Reinhard de Klerk. And Reinhard was traveling down to KZN recently on tour with the hockey team from the school. And when he encountered this amazing act of kindness that even surprised him. So here's the premise of the story. He, as a teacher and the rest of the kids, stopped by a restaurant near Pietermaritzburg. And the school has a meal voucher that was worth, 1,430 rands. And so they stopped at this restaurant and they spent exactly that amount.
Yeah.
But as they're finishing their meal, he's saying he wants to, of course, give the waiter a tip. And instead then charges the tip to his card. And what the waiter didn't realize, though, is instead of just charging the 10 or 15% of the tip on the card, charge the full amount of the meal plus the tip the card.
And he's a teacher. So, teacher salary card.
So there's a bit of a boo-boo on the waiter's front. But the teacher as well didn't exactly realize this and left the restaurant, checked into their hotel with the kids, and minding his own business at 6 minutes to 11 p.m. M that evening gets this random knock on his hotel room door. Lo and behold, it's two waiters from this restaurant apologizing profusely and saying, listen, it was a mistake. Here's the money. We charged it by accident. The teacher hadn't even realized it at this point. But I think, isn't that kind of sweet?
Yeah.
Yes, they could have, you know, of course, they could have backtracked somehow. They could have just sent money back electronically, or they could have just thought, he's already out of the store, he won't even realize it. But the mere fact that they went above and beyond just to do this just proves how, you know, selfless some people are and how some people really do focus on doing good, regardless of the circumstance. So I think more so even realizing how much teachers don't really earn in this country, and the fact that these waiters went above and beyond to get money back to this teacher is really absolutely sweet. So shout out to Fortunate and Sabelo from the restaurant who made the effort to go and find this teacher. Heaven only knows how they found out their details. Like,
yeah.
Did they go with the school uniform and try to call around? I think it's so sweet, though. So, to Fortunate and Sabelo going the extra effort to return Reinhard de Klerk's money back. It's just cool. I like it. I like it a lot. That's your set by CFO this morning. And that's your first hour for this morning, this 1st of April 2019. We'll be back with the second hour of the show, some new stories and some general discussions happening. As we did say, Gareth isn't in this morning, but he'll be back tomorrow morning. Do you want to read messages now, or should we save them for the second hour?
I'm going to go with obviously save it for the second hour.
Oh. Obviously.
Yeah. I'm obviously going to go with that as well.
Okay.
Obviously.
Then we will obviously move on this.
So obvious, I'll even mention the B in obviously.
But you drop the C in
Leclerc.
There we go. This is the Gareth Cliff Show.
This is CliffCentral.com.